Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. I'm excited to preach this. Actually, this is what I was going to preach at Southwide Baptist Fellowship until the Holy Ghost told me to preach something else. Yeah, go down to a place, you prepare 6 months to preach a sermon, and then boom, God said, do this.
Yeah.
I said, did it. God bless. The altar field. We had a great time. Just wonderful. All right. You got Acts chapter 7. Now, this outline is not going to be on the board today. But Sister McKay, where are you at? Allison, got it. And if you want it, you can get it. All right. Just didn't have time to put it down. Do have it on my iPad. Now, don't think I'm getting liberal because I've got about a five. That's why I was able to change so easy the other day. It's on here. Amen. Yeah, boy. Acts 7. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 23. This is Stephen talking. Doing some preaching. Why he done some preaching? He brought some examples of success and fortitude and God using a man. And today in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 23, 24, and 25... I'm going to give you a thought today. And when he, and that's Moses, was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. Hello? Don't always think the brother's going to understand you. Because the Bible said, but they understood not. Here's what I want to preach on. It really can encompass a bunch of things. I want to preach on how to be prepared for success. How many of you in this room, whether it's your marriage, your work, or whatever you're doing, you want to be successful? Just raise them up if you want to be successful. Sure. But how to be successful? Now, I'm going to give you a little foundation. Will you stay with me? About Moses. The setting is this. The children of Israel had been in bondage for 400 years. See, the present Pharaoh did not know Joseph. The Pharaoh that knew Joseph had died. This present Pharaoh did not know Joseph. And I'll tell you this, he feared the Israelites. And he should have. And he placed them in bondage. But guess what? The more he oppressed them, the more God blessed them.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful God?
Yeah.
And then he told the midwives, go kill all the boys, boy babies, two and under. You know what them girls did? There ain't a whole lot of people doing this anymore. They told Pharaoh no. For 3 months, they had the order. They said, no, we ain't going to do it. We're going to fear God more than we are going to fear you. Somebody help me preach right there. We need some men and women in this country right now to stand and say, we still fear God. We're not going to compromise our morals for this wicked, dirty, messed up world.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what happened. They went down themselves and threw all the babies into that river and killed all them male babies. Y'all still with me? Oh, you're going to like it here in a minute. There was a man and woman named Amram and Jochebed. And they had a child whose name was Moses. Moses was a goodly child. A proper child. The Bible says, a fair child. May I say it this way? God had his hand on that baby. He would be an official to my people. God had his hand on that baby. Genesis 15 even said they were going to be down there 400 years and God was going to send a deliverer. And his name was going to be Moses. Woo! The Bible even said, listen to this, this might make some of you want to shout. By faith, Hebrews 11:23, when he was born, Moses, was he in 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now his mama was Jochebed. Let me tell you what she done. How many of y'all believe God's a great God? How many of y'all believe he's in our lives? He's intertwined in our lives through his promise. Do you really believe that? You know what she done? She prepared for him an ark. Of bulrushes. Let me tell you something about that ark of bulrushes. Whoo. It was pitched on the outside and pitched on the inside. You said, what's that pitch? That's the word kephar. And it means atonement.
Amen.
You know where she put him? She put him right dead down in that same river where everybody else was slain. But there was one difference between him and everybody else. He was in the ark. And there's one difference. Oh boy, there's one difference between me and you and everybody that's saved in this room. We in the ark.
Amen.
Oh, I like that. Let me give you this just for preaching, and I like to preach. An ark is a place of safety. There's 3 of them in the Bible. Noah's ark, by the way, it was pitched on the inside and the outside. And that pitch, again, speaks of atonement. And then, by the way, and then there was the ark of the covenant that had the law and Aaron's rod that budded and the manna in it. And by the way, that's a picture of safety. Then the ark of bulrushes. And by the way, she put him down in the river. I like this. Y'all with me? She put him down in the river. And, I like it. Pharaoh's daughter came by. You believe in the providence of God?
Amen.
Moses started crying. You said, what do you think that was? That's the Holy Ghost giving him a pinch. Woo! Aren't you glad God got all this under control? And she went and gathered him up. Now you want to show, can I show you a great God? You really want to hear about a great God right now? Then Pharaoh's daughter needed somebody to take care of him. So she hired, oh Lord, she hired Jochebed, his mother. Some of y'all sit back there dead if you want to. That makes me want to shout. What a God. Hired her and paid her to take care and raise her own son. The Bible says he was a great man. And he was. And in this context, he was a full 40 years old. You know what he decided to do? He decided to cross. He was the man. He was the man in Egypt. He decided to cross the tracks and go see his family. The children of Israel. I'm getting there. Y'all stay with me right now, because I want you to see something right here. In verse 23, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into what? Somebody help me. It came where? In his heart. I want to tell you something. He got something down in his heart that some of us need to get down in our heart. And that was a passion. It came into his heart. Let me tell you three or four things. It was big. And it came into his heart. And it was something bigger than power. Because Hebrews 11:24 said, by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All he had to do was said, hey, I'm Pharaoh's. I'm the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at me. I got it. He refused it. Are y'all with me? And not only that, something bigger in his heart that was bigger than pain. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Something was bigger in his heart to say, instead of living in this luxury, I am going to live for God. There's something bigger in his heart than possession. Because he esteemed the reproach of Christ's riches more than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect of the recompense of the reward. And sin also was bigger than pleasure. Than enjoy pleasures for a season. This man was a scholar. This man was a statesman. This man was a soldier. But most of all, he was selected by Almighty God to lead his people out. He went over on the other tracks. He saw one of them Egyptians misusing a Hebrew. He went up there and killed him. Supposing, by doing so, they'd all follow him. Next day, saw two Hebrews striving. I'm laying the foundation. I know it's taking a while, but you'll get me. I'm going somewhere. And next day, two Hebrews were striving. And he came in. They said, hold it. He thought they'd accept him. By the way, can I give you all a little bit of something? If you're going to be successful, do not put a zero around it that says everybody's going to like you. And everybody's going to accept you. Most likely going to get jealous in their heart. Most likely going to be a bunch of buzzards wanting your flesh if they can't get it. You know what's sickening not only in the world but in our churches? Jealousy. It don't matter who's singing here or who's preaching at the moment. It's God's glory, that's most important.
Amen.
I'll tell you what happened to him. Now, y'all stay with me. Please stay with me. He left Egypt a failure. And by the way, failures are never a part of vision. And Moses was a vision-driven man. I want to tell all you, without a vision, the people perish. Ladies and gentlemen, this church may be full, just about full right now, but without a vision, we perish. I'm not satisfied with just this crowd, though I love all of you. I'd just sooner double or triple. It'd just be more souls saved, more people going to heaven, more missionaries being reached. Somebody help me.
Amen.
Let me say something. Let me talk about your success in your life and ministry. I mentioned this in a presentation I've done here, but I'm going to mention it in a sermon right now. Are you a vision-driven person? Hello? Even up in your years, are you still passionate about God's work? Huh? My preacher. There's three phases churches go through. Can I give it to you? Even people work everywhere. It's the same application. First is the ministry phase. I remember when I first got here. 89 people. We had an annual budget of 25,000. Wouldn't pay one week of bills today. Wouldn't pay for our missionaries in a month. Annual. That's not much. I came by faith. Boys told me they couldn't pay me very much. They have since took care of me wonderfully, and I'm thankful. But back then, they couldn't do it. They didn't have it. So I just came in hell. And I got in it. Amen. And by the way, 35 years later, I'm still in it.
Amen.
I'm still thrilled.
Amen.
In honest state ministry. Second phase, maintenance phase. I've got preacher friends that are happy just to keep the status quo. And if they lose a few, that's all right. Just keep the status quo. If you do that in your business, if you do that in your marriage, if you do that in any facet of your life, you are going to fail. That's a maintenance. Just, hey, I hear it from preachers all the time. I'm just trying to hold on. Lord God, I'm trying to keep on going up. I want God to do greater things. Oh, but that ain't the end of it. Then it becomes the monument phase. God, this is sickening. I see it all over the place. Can't talk about ministry anymore. Can't even talk about maintenance. Here's, you want to say what they say? What it used to be. See, I want to tell you something. We got something in this church greater than what it used to be. Greater when I came. I was told when we went to the next one building, we would not have, the Holy Ghost wouldn't be there. What kind of ignorant people are going to say something like that? Hey, Holy Ghost is in me.
Amen.
So if I went in, He's there.
That's right.
Then I was told when we went down here and this gymnasium sat floor and we didn't build this for a church that God definitely wouldn't be down here. Well, honey, He done proved a whole bunch of people wrong.
Amen.
And if we build a 2,500 seater and we do it with the right motive and want people saved, can I tell you, He'll be there too. Because wherever I am, the Holy Ghost is, and God can do business.
Amen.
See, I believe this. I'm getting ready to, I'm giving you the sermon right now, so put your antennas up. I believe the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How many believe that? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about ready to say, but I want you to soak in what I'm ready to say. Will you? God set up Moses for failure. He set him up. Boy, it's quiet in here now. God set him up. Because Moses was not prepared in God's ways. Moses was prepared in the Egyptian ways. Somebody help me preach right there. And why did God set him up? Because he wasn't ready to succeed. Come on. Let me, oh, y'all stay with me because I'm going to give you four things and I'll be done. Here's this sermon, by the way. I personally believe you want to be successful, y'all all raise your hand. There's four elements that I want to give you this morning. Number one, it takes time. It takes time. You know what God done with him? Took him on the backside of the desert. How many of y'all in this room ever been there? Right, spiritually speaking, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You're on the backside of the desert. Not really a nice place to be. But see, if you've got great purpose, you've got to have great preparation.
Yes, right.
On the backside of the desert. As I'm getting older, I am. I'm saying I had to change. And I have changed. They said, you know what's wrong with most Baptist preachers and most church members? They ain't willing to change. And I am not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about standards. I'm not talking about living right. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about saying what I used to think was wisdom, actually was weakness. What I used to think was real important, that I'd go into a Donnybrook and fight over it, it wasn't near as important as I thought it was. And now the things I used to think were insignificant, I think are very significant. Somebody help me right there. Amen. See, it takes time. Why do you think God didn't allow him to get him out back then? Because here's what he would have been able to say. I did it. Yeah. I did it. It was my scholarship, my statesman. I did it. You know what? We got a lot of people in life think they did it. They're where they're at financially because they did it. They're where they're at in their family because they did it. You're wrong. It was God that done it. Say, well, I was just lucky. No, you had an almighty providential God on your side. Whew. I'm going to give y'all something here. You better listen to this. God will share his grace with you. He will share his mercy with you. He will share his strength with you. By the way, how many of y'all have seen God do that for you? But look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. There's one thing God won't share with you. His glory. Mm-mm. That's for him alone. Let me look at you, businessman. Let me look at you out there. Let me give you a little lesson. You better do it God's way in church and outside of church. And you better be respectable of God in church and out of church. And we ought to behave ourselves like we would in church and out of church. Somebody help me.
Amen.
And you better not take the glory for anything. You know, when they introduced preachers like he did down there, well, this man's accomplished all that down at the conference. I thought myself, quit saying that. Tell them it was God that done that.
Amen.
Am I preaching? I'm just trying to help you here. Number two. Not only did he need to have some time, Chad, but number two, he had to be prepared. It took territory. Territory. The back side of the desert. I mean, I'm talking about where you ain't getting your name in the sword of the Lord. Well, there ain't nobody thinks you're popular. All you're doing is out there tending sheep for 40 years. Hello? Sometimes God has to let you get way down so he can speak to you. How many of you are going through something right now? Look at me. If you're going through something right now, let me tell you something. God is just allowing you to get way down so he can speak to you. And I want to tell you, I got a God allow that, but I got a God's going to make something wonderful here in a minute.
Amen.
Whew. By the way, some of the greatest men in the Bible came out of the desert. Elijah came out of the wilderness. Amos took... Country preacher came out of the wilderness. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness. Jesus himself spent time in the wilderness. Paul was in Arabia in the wilderness for 3 years training under God.
Amen.
Woo! I'm not done yet. Hey, Mark, it takes a third thing. Then one day something happened that ain't never happened before. Moses got up on a mountain. Mm-hmm. And there's a bush was there. The Hebrew word for that bush is jenna. And it really meant thorns. Thorns. And God got into that thorn bush and spoke through fire. Somebody help me right there. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, God allows us to go through hard times. God allows us to go through some times of storms, but do not get into a pity party. Amen. Know that God's got a purpose for your dear life.
Amen.
You can either be a blessing or a burden.
Amen.
My preaching. I'm almost done. What did he tell Moses? Look at everybody. I don't want you to miss this. What did he tell Moses to do? Here's what he told him to do. I hope I ain't got no holes in my socks. He said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Now, you all remember Brother McBride preaching any old shoe do. What that refers back to is Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. But actually, Boaz wasn't the nearest kinsman to Ruth. Guess who was? Another one. But the nearest kinsman said, he took his shoes off. And he said, here's my shoe. You want to hit you on it, Tony? I'm going to give you my authority. It's yours. And when Moses took him shoes off, y'all hear me? You know what he was telling God? You the boss.
Right.
You the authority. Let's just tell the truth of it right now. Hey, some of you dying and going to hell right now because you've never let Jesus come into your life. He's the boss. He wants to take over. He don't just want to have a part of your life. He wants to take over your life. He is. Hey, that shoe means you the authority.
Amen.
You want to be successful? You want to be successful? You're going to find out something. You ain't the boss. You ain't the boss. He's the boss.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with our families? They're upside down because they don't know what the authority of the family is. You know what's wrong with our kids? We done let kids call the shots instead of said the family call the shots. Somebody help me preach right there.
Amen.
See, it's all authority. In my house, I didn't get to call the shots. My mom and daddy called the shots. And when daddy was out, mama with a hickory switch called the shots. And if I was disobedient, I got a whipping. I know some of y'all said, well, they throw me in jail. Well, they just had to throw me in jail because I whip my kids, proud of it. Hallelujah. I know y'all read all them books, don't whip nobody, you'll maim them for life. You're a nuthead. God said, spare the rod, you hate the child. That's why he made this back here. So padded. Now, y'all ready to shout? And I think I took a little shout out of you there. I'm going to show you something. Turn to Psalm 78 and I'm done. This right here ought to take every one of you and make you want to shout. If you want to be successful, that is. Psalm 78 and down to verse 52. If you're there? You there? All right. Now, stay with me. Number four, Jared, it takes training. How many of y'all believe being successful takes training? Now, what was God going to use Moses for? Take him out. Take his children out to Canaan. Now, what was he? Somebody answer audibly. What was he doing on the backside of the desert? And what was his job? Come on, y'all. Y'all dead. He was a shepherd. He took care of what? You want to see that? Look at verse 52. But made his own people to go forth like what? Sheep. And gathered them in the wilderness like what? A flock. Woo! God said, you've been back here in the backside of the desert taking care of sheep. And he learned the nature of sheep because they're the same nature of men. That's why it said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And he gathered those sheep like a shepherd being taught and trained by Almighty God. And guess what? He was a success.
Amen.
But it took time. It took territory. It took training.
Amen.
And it took thorns. Some of you going through some stuff today. And it's a thorn. God's using you. You might say, no way. God using you. There's a guy I love. Called me last night, encouraged me. It's George O'Brien. George, if people don't love you, then they ain't real people. I could see where they throw a dart at me. But not teddy bear, George. I know you and Judy going through it. You in the thorn bush. But guess what's in the thorn bush? A fire. An Almighty God. How many others wave at me and say, preacher, I'm going through it. Guess who's in the thorn bush? God Almighty. And He got you there to be able to testify of what He done for you.
Amen.
Hey, Rodney, I know you've been going through it, but you're doing a good job praising God.
Amen.
It's just for a moment, because God's got a greater purpose.
Amen.
Bow your head with me. I'm finished.